Gummer Joba Tenderloin. This is TobielPod.com, the week in Georgia in English, coming to you from the usual glass box in the San Francisco Public Library, high above bustling Market Street. Today is Thursday, the 14th of November, 2013. On this date, in 1889, journalist Nellie Bly begins a successful attempt to travel around the world in less than 80 days. Coming in at 72, very interesting character. Check her out, Nellie Bly, B-L-Y. 1918, Czechoslovakia comes into existence as a republic. 1922, the BBC begins radio service in the UK. 1940, Coventry is heavily bombed by the Luftwaffe. Coventry Cathedral is completely destroyed. 1975, Spain abandons Western Sahara, by the way, as Morocco slowly consolidates its annexation. The Sahrawis are still in refugee camps in Algeria 38 years later. Don't forget the Sahrawis. 1979, Jimmy Carter freezes all Iranian assets in the United States in response to the hostage crisis. 1982, Lechwalensa is released after 11 months of internment near the Soviet border. 2001, Northern Alliance fighters take over Kabul. In 2008, the first G20 economic summit opens in Washington, D.C. Today is World Diabetes Day. Birthdays today are painter Claude Monet, state builder Jawaharlal Nehru, beloved children's writer Astrid Lindgren, anti-communist demagogue Joe McCarthy, composer Aaron Copland, war enabler Condi Rice, poet Mourman Lebanidze, and director, screenwriter, Gheorghe Ovashvili. Today, it is just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum with your insightful advice. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tobielpod.com or send us an email at tobielpod@gmail.com. On the 8th of November, the Prime Minister nominee and current Interior Minister, Irakli Garibashvili, put forward Otar Patkharladze as the new chief prosecutor. He will replace Archil Kvilashvili, who resigned last week. Patkharladze is currently the head of the investigative service of the finance ministry. He was born in 1976. He's married, has three children, and one grandchild. Not bad for a 37-year-old. On the 9th of November, Garibashvili nominated Lexo Chkheidze to replace him as interior minister. The 28-year-old Chkheidze graduated from Tbilisi State Faculty of History, majoring in diplomacy. He's worked in the interior ministry in various positions since 2008 and was appointed chairman of Tbilisi's main police department in March 2013. Garibashvili said, quote, "Lexo started work at our ministry a few years ago, and he went through each level very successfully. He was a beginner operative employee, then he became investigator, and afterwards he moved as a head of one of the departments in Tbilisi, and then I appointed him as chairman of Kakheti Regional Police Department, and he carried out his duties perfectly," end quote. Chkheidze thanked Garibashvili for his trust and said that he will do his best to continue what Garibashvili has begun. Now, appointing somebody from inside is interesting. Before, under Shevardnadze, the Interior Ministry was a sort of fraternal order based on not talking about the corruption there, basically a giant organized crime entity that was an actual part of the state. Then, under Medabashvili, it was cleared out, and everybody came in who was young and had nothing to do with the old guard, but was again based on silence and personal loyalty. For example, the brutal but quiet fight between Sodi and Kudi. Nobody really ever talked about that or knew what was going on at the time. But the new minister comes from within and worked under Medabashvili, which says something good, that they don't require that they only have their old people and, you know, everybody in the old system is tainted, which is the way it was under Misha. And sure enough, everybody was actually tainted in the old system. Although, interestingly, some of the Shevardnadze people are still around. Supposedly, Soso Alavidze is floating around the ministry somewhere. Who knows where? Anyway, the new guy is young and, in a way, will likely be Garibashvili's representative in the ministry in a way that Kezadashvili replaced Okuruashvili as defense minister back in the day. But really, Kezadashvili became Misha's representative in the defense ministry, or, if you will, secretary of the group that ran the ministry. Be interesting to watch what happens in the ministry. and if he can keep it moving and prevent jockeying for position among the various interests there among deputy ministers and this and that. Employees from the prisoned monitoring unit accused the public defender Ucha Nanuashvili of concealing critical reports about Georgian prisons. Last week, Nanuashvili sacked Natia Imnadze, who led the prison's monitoring unit since 2009. Imnadze's deputy, Otar Kwachitadze, was also fired. Three of the five remaining employees of the unit resigned in protest. Imnadze alleges that Nanuashvili is not independent and is informally held accountable to certain individuals in the government, although she declined to specifically say. Imnadze alluded to prison minister Sosar Subadi. In response, the public defender accused the former employees of negligence and attempting to discredit him. Imnadze plans to file a lawsuit over her firing. On the 12th of November, Russia's Channel 1 program Sunday Time interviewed President-elect Georgi Margvelashvili. Margvelashvili said the two countries should start mending relations by discussing issues where agreement is possible. The goal in the long run is to then move towards having good neighborly relations. Margvelashvili mentioned several times that the Russian Patriarch Kirill congratulated him on his electoral victory. Margvelashvili said that he was pleased by this because it demonstrates the strength of people-to-people contact between the two Orthodox Christian nations, even in the absence of diplomatic ties between the two states. Margvelashvili also stated that he is ready to attend the Sochi Olympics in Russia. In response to Margvelashvili's statement that he would attend the Sochi Winter Olympics in 2014, the government will form a special working group to discuss the appropriateness of this. According to the Regional Development Minister, Dato Nurmania, the group will consist of the Ministers of Foreign Affairs and Sports, as well as the President and Prime Minister. UNM said that the Russian authorities will use these events to abuse Georgia's sovereignty, and it's a pity the Georgian president-elect expressed his readiness to support this process. Central Elections Commission concluded the official vote count of the presidential election and presented the results. Georgi Margvelashvili received 62% of the vote, Dato Bakradze 21%, Nino Bourjanadze 10%, Shalvin Atalashvili 2%, Georgi Targamadze 1%. All other candidates got less than 1% of the vote. On the 9th of November, the president's administration hoisted the UNM's party flag over the presidential residence. As a reminder, UNM's new flag is very similar to the state flag, which is what was supposed to be over the building. The only difference between the two is that instead of four small crosses in the quadrant, UNM's flag has four hearts. That same day, the government called on Misha to immediately put back the state flag over the presidential residence. Reportedly, the UNM flag was there for a music video. On the 10th of November, they put up the national flag again. Later, the State Council of Heraldry called for reinforcing the rules and sanctions for misuse or improper use of state symbols. The members of the council called on lawmakers to establish proper legislation regarding the use of state symbols. Misha once again clarifying that he has difficulty distinguishing between party and the state. He said, quote, "It's funny that Shevardnadze's people who returned to the government are protecting the national flag from me, while several criminal cases were launched against me for using this flag when I was the chairman of the Tbilisi City Assembly. I've been bearing the five-cross flag on my breast for all these years. I have not seen this flag on the clothes of the leader or members of the current government. Nobody is as proud of this flag as me," end quote. For those who don't remember, when Misha inaugurated himself in 2004, his first act was to sign into law the current flag, which was then known as Misha's flag, would become the state flag. The whole ceremony had a "I am the state" feel to it. I remember at the ceremony, I was standing behind the podium with foreigners, and there was a point that he and a group of children in ethnic costumes, Chochas, Azeri and Armenian outfits, a Russian outfit, all looking to the Western eye, very Oriental. First, they raised the new Georgian flag. Then they raised the EU flag. At that moment, the photographers went wild, particularly those from Western Europe, because it was such a perfect symbol of the narrative about what was going on. Young, energetic Westernizer with all these kids looking very foreign, raising an EU flag. The kids kept pulling the flag up the pole, but it was going up the pole so quickly that it would be out of the frame of all the photographs. So the ever-media-savvy Misha was grabbing the other rope and kept pulling it down so the flag and the kids would all stay in the frame together with him. Following up on last week's story about Misha's mass granting of Georgian citizenship, he released a special statement regarding the decision to use his exclusive authority to grant Georgian citizenship to applicants. He said he does not intend to grant citizenship to all foreigners who apply. He claims there are very firm criteria. The deadline for submitting the application expired on Tuesday, the 12th of November. On the 7th of November, U.S. Ambassador Richard Norland sent a photograph taken at Tbilisi in 1993 to Misha. Norland wrote back on the back of the picture, "A photo of Peter Semleby, my colleague on an OSCE monitoring mission in Georgia in 1993, a vivid reminder of how much Georgia has changed and the part you played in transforming this part of the world. The photo is uploaded on Misha's official Facebook page. We'll post the link to the forum." On the forum. On the 11th of November, the Patriarch released a statement regarding the Archimandrite Bartholomew, who recently cursed Misha on Facebook. According to the statement, a priest doesn't have the right to commit such an action independently, even though he wished to protect the country. The church imposed penance on him. On the 6th of November, Archimandrite Bartholomew cursed Misha and his associates on Facebook. Quote, "Cursed be Misha Saakashvili and his gang. Let the sun be dark and the moon not shine. Let the fruit of the land be poisoned, water turn bitter, salt be vanished, and the air be despoiler for him. Amen." End quote. I wonder what the penance was, you know, like 10 Hail Marys, or what's the deal there? Deputy Foreign Minister Dato Zalkaliani will initiate Georgia's association agreement with the EU during the Eastern Partnership Summit in Vilnius on the 28th and 29th of November. The text of the agreement is 1,000 pages, and each page must be signed. The process will last about 3 hours. There will be a 5-member delegation from Georgia, but the government only announced Zalkaliani's name so far. Georgia will also prepare a shorter version for interested people to read. The OSCE Secretary General Lamberto Zanier talked about the organization's plans in Georgia in an interview with a Russian news agency. He says that they plan to reopen their office in Georgia soon. He added the organization has intensive cooperation with Georgian authorities since last year's parliamentary election. However, they still have to observe developments in the country. The OSCE mission suspended its work in Georgia in June 2009 when its mandate expired, and also when Misha was incredibly ticked off at the role that they played in 2008. Since they were the OSCE was the group dealing with South Ossetia and had some difficulties there. On the 11th of November, the American Navy ship Mount Whitney arrived in Batumi. U.S. Ambassador Richard Norland and the captain of the Mount Whitney held a reception on board for representatives of Georgian authorities, opposition, and NGOs. Norland said that the repeated arrival of the Mount Whitney in Georgia is proof of the strategic partnership between the United States and Georgia. This is the ship that brought humanitarian aid to Georgia after the 2008 war. Mount Whitney will remain in Georgian territorial waters until November 13th. In an interview with Radio Liberty, the Swedish Foreign Minister Carl Bildt discussed political developments in Georgia. When asked about the alleged political motivation of criminal prosecutions of former officials, Bildt answered that he saw some tendencies towards political revenge. The journalist also asked whether Misha could find himself in the same situation as Tymoshenko in Ukraine if an investigation is launched against him. Bildt said that in such a circumstance, things would likely be worse. Quote, "I told BI very clearly that if he starts this case, Georgia's foreign policy, we could say, would be engrossed in only this case for the next few years, which would adversely affect the country's development," end quote. Eden Toba, the LGBT rights group who initiated the 17th of May rights protest for tolerance that was subsequently attacked by a Georgian mob supported by the Orthodox Church, is trying to build an orphanage for homeless children. On the 12th of November, Michael Botkveli, the secretary of Patriarch Ilya II, commented on the initiative and stated that society must stand next to the church and protest this initiative. According to him, there are injured and diseased people in Identoba, and it is impossible to entrust them with children. The head of the organization, Irakli Vacharadze, says that they are still going to open social housing despite the negative reaction from the clerics. The public defender welcomes the initiative and asks local self-government bodies and the healthcare ministry to take all necessary measures to protect the rights of the homeless. On the 13th of November, the healthcare minister, Dato Serganenko, said that Identoba's initiative to build orphanages for homeless children is not legal. The direct quote is interesting. Quote, and this is from the official statement, "Taking care of children consists of two main functions, infrastructural and methods of raising them. Both are based on UNICEF experience and are regulated with international and Georgian law. The methods of their upbringing must be agreed with international declarations and Georgian law. We salute any initiative to help these children, though this must be within international law and experience. We are ready for such cooperation if this doesn't happen mechanically if we build houses for children. This is against two international criteria, deinstitutionalization and upbringing methods. If these terms are not satisfied and the healthcare ministry will be the same institution, I'll be glad to cooperate with any of them." End quote. So in this regard, the church can do whatever it wants, and frankly, anybody else can. What is interesting is how meticulously the minister, even though not so grammatically correct, used the language of international norms in saying that this was illegal. Very similar to the gone but not forgotten mascot of Tbilpod.com, Gennady Onoshenko's comments about the unsanitary nature of Georgian wine in Borjomi when Russia decided to get rid of it. All very legal and meticulous, but completely arbitrary, and a note of arrogance by the state representative in the fact that they can just say this and there isn't anything anybody can do about it. On the 7th of November, Dato Chaganava, who is accused of torture, was extradited from Austria to Georgia. Chaganava was arrested on the 30th of September in Austria. Interpol has wanted him since mid-September. According to the investigation, Megis Kardava, former deputy head of the Samogrelo-Zemos-Svaneti Regional Main Division of the Ministry of Interior, created a criminal group of ministry employees, which included Chaganava. He's accused of arranging underground torture locations. According to the investigation, Kardava ordered Chaganava in 2011 to participate in kidnapping two people, illegal imprisonment, beating, torture, inhumane treatment, and rape. The Ministry of Refugees will provide 85 refugee families with apartments located on Kvareli Street in Tbilisi. To decide the floor and size of each family's flats, the IDPs will draw straws. Out of the 85 flats, 31 are one-room, 40 are two-room, and 10 are three-room flats. More than 1,000 IDP families from Abkhazia and South Ossetia will receive apartments by the end of the year. On the 11th of November, the Energy Ministry, Kahi Kaladze, summed up his work over the last year in front of the media. Kaladze spoke about investments in Georgia's energy sector in the past 6 months. He discussed 15 hydroelectric power plants currently under construction. The minister also spoke about the reduction of tariffs on electricity and natural gas. He said, quote, "We managed to reduce the tariff on power by 4 tetri and natural gas by 5 tetri. In addition, we have started the electrification of all villages that had never had electricity supply so far, and we have 32 villages in Georgia with this problem. The work will be conducted in 7 villages by the end of the year, and by the end of next year, all other villages will be connected to the electrical network," Kaladze said. On the 9th of November, people protested outside the former parliament building in Tbilisi against the construction of Hudonhesi and other large hydroelectric power stations. The protesters demanded the officials stop the construction. Following groups and people joined the protest. The Leftist Alliance, the Free Georgia, the chairperson of the United Front of Deoccupation and Liberation, Irakli Tsereteli, as well as Lasha Chkartishvili, a representative of Greenpeace Supporters Group, an NGO called the Energy Efficiency Fund, collected signatures to demand fundamental energy policy changes from the government and President-elect Margvelashvili. Happy to hear that just as Gennady Onashenko heads off into the sunset, that Irakli Tsereteli, the well-known goofball of the early 90s, is still around. We hope he will be offering more commentary, particularly since Shalvanatilashvili has been noticeably silent since his disciplining at the poll during the presidential elections. I mean, of course he said that they were false, but, you know, not much since then. On the night of the 10th of November, a group of about 30 Georgian men rallied outside Turkish bars and strip clubs in Tbilisi. The National Front and National Liberation Movement of Georgia organized the protest. They claimed to be protesting Georgian women being employed as prostitutes in these establishments. Oddly, they were also protesting the Turkish strip clubs and bars' refusal to let them enter the establishment based on their ethnicity. Many of the establishments have a policy of not letting Georgian men in, allegedly. The group set off flares outside the clubs and chanted, "Long live Georgia." The National Independence Party leader, Irakli Tsereteli, our friend from the previous thing, participated and said that, quote, "a Georgian man should be able to enter every venue in Georgia," end quote. Resonanci reports that they will hold another rally on the 16th of November on Rose Revolution Square. The interesting thing about this is that it has the shape of a sort of proto-skinhead movement, brings the old aggressive Kagebezhnikebi together with the young confused meatheads. Let's hope this doesn't get louder. Misha awarded the Czech Republic Ambassador Ivan Jestrop a Medal of Honor for his commitment to reinforcing and enhancing bilateral relations. UNDP, the Minister of Environment and the National Forest Agency, launched a reforestation works project in Daba, Borjomi Municipality. The Georgian government supports this initiative, along with the government of Finland and UNDP. More than 16 hectares of pinewood mixed forests were burned down during the August War. 22,500 trees will be planted in total to replace them. Forestry is a big, big issue in Georgia that doesn't get as much press as it should. On the 8th of November, harsh winds damaged Batumi, and there was like a de-roofification of a 12-story block of houses. Two vehicles were also damaged. No one was injured. Nino Sulkhanishvili State Choir has stopped working because they're not being paid. The member of the choir released a statement saying that their 200 salary has not been paid in a long time, and they refuse to work until they're given a raise and some money. Parliamentary news. According to a draft bill up for consideration in a few days, regional governors will be given more administrative authority and control. If passed, governors will have the power to coordinate ongoing implemented reforms in the regions and to support the central government's interest in reforming government structures. New governors will be appointed after Margvelashvili is inaugurated on the 17th of November. According to constitutional amendments, the government, not the president, will appoint governors from then on. This is interesting. Governors have always been an informal, unelected representative of executive power. For example, they oversaw elections, and I mean oversaw not in the positive rule of law light. This could be dangerous for local government if these representatives stay and end up being important people. This is particularly important since there will be local elections in 6 months or so, and there has been no law presented. If something doesn't show up from Narmania within, say, a month after the dust has settled from the inauguration, we'll be in trouble, and we'll know that, in fact, this government doesn't really intend to decentralize, as they have indicated, because they can elect all the people that they want, but if the money flows are not formulaic and the governors, regional governors, are there to call all the shots, then it won't really matter much. All fines and penalties for all categories of traffic violations will be reduced by half or more. For example, the fine for speeding will be 50 lari instead of 100, and the penalty for not paying a fine will be 150 instead of 500. This Interior Ministry initiative will be sent to Parliament for consideration. The rule for depriving driver's licenses is for ignoring fines and penalties will also be reduced from a 2-year to a 6-month term. This is unbelievably bad news, and I hope everybody will write their member of parliament at addresses easy to find at parliament.ge and tell them that this is bad. The meme this week, a visualization, very, very cool. I would encourage everybody to look at it. From Speaking Stones, shows scenes in Tbilisi during the Civil War in 1992, compared with the same locations in 2013. We will post this to the forum, as with everything else to read. Article by Sergei Markadonov about Russian-Georgian relations. Article by Madi Nikuradze about the conflict over a minaret that was dismantled in the village of Chela. This got an update on what's going on with that, which is great. Update articles are always good and less frequent than they should be. A post by Eva Anderson about the Tbilisi Bypass Project. This is quite interesting, and there's a lot of discussion about this. The main problem is whether or not the land on the current tracks. What the question is, right now the tracks go right through the city, and that's for oil transport, crude oil transport going from the Caspian to Batumi, as well as for passengers. So they need a bypass for the oil for safety. Question is whether the passengers will continue to go through there. And what they wanted to do is just tear up all the lines and sell the land. I think under the UNM they were interested in, you know, the usual collusion problems of having their friends deal with the land. The question is now whether they will do that, and let's hope they don't tear up the tracks. Article from TI Georgia about SMS advertisements and Georgia's first data protection inspector. ISET's October report on the Georgian consumer confidence barometer. As I said, these are all in the forum. Geocapital number is 86, which is Georgia's position on the gender gap index for 2013. The report revealed that the situation for equality between men and women in Georgia is better than in any other South Caucasus state, although not what it could be. The World Economic Forum's report puts Armenia at 94th, Azerbaijan at 99th, Russia is 61. Iceland was named as the country with the narrowest gender gap in the world, while Yemen was ranked as the worst country in terms of gender equality. The Global Gender Index was introduced by the World Economic Forum in 2006. It compares opportunities that men and women have in 134 countries, including salaries, access to high-skilled employment, access to education, political engagement, as well as health and life expectancy. This week, English language movies at Rustavelli Movie Theater across from Parliament are on Saturday, the 14th of November, and Wednesday, the 20th of November, Thor, The Dark World at 10:30. The National Parliamentary Library of Georgia will host a mixed media installation project called The Charms of War by Syrian artist Abdallah Omari. The project will last until the 19th of November. For additional details, visit their Facebook page, which is Facebook.com/ National Parliamentary Library of Georgia, all written together. On the 14th of November till the 17th of November, Amidani Cinema invites cinema goers to the Slovak Film Days in Georgia. For 4 days, Georgian audiences will have the opportunity to watch classic as well as contemporary Slovakian cinematography. Entrance is free. For additional details, check out the Facebook link we will post on the forum. From the 14th of November till the 24th of November, Georgian National Museum Shalva Amidanishvili Museum of Fine Arts will host the international multimedia exhibition Heritage. The project will raise awareness of the importance of cultural, social, and personal heritage. Address is number 1 Lado Gudiashvili Street. For additional information, visit museum.ge. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is @txtbuk. That's Tango, X-Ray, Tango, Bravo, Uniform, Kilo. Our email is tfieldpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website at www.tfieldpod.com. And today, we'll finish with a song first released in 1957 in South Africa. Then in the U.S. 10 years later, hitting number 12 on the Billboard charts. This is the immortal Maria Makeba and Pata Pata. Sakutuga satiwega na tsi pata pata sakutuga.
Everybody starts to move as soon as Pata Pata.